It's Friday!
It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we are off and running on this fourth day of June 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That, of course, is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. Assuming we can stay on the air, I'm being told that we are already blipping and glitching with the stream. Not a damn thing I can do about it. Nothing. Bupkus. Nada, niente, nihil, nothing. So, it is just what it is. Hopefully it'll settle down. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that happens in the 3 hours in which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, then, you know, run on over to HeadOn.live, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you never have done that before, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third stage guild navigator, has chosen not to fold space today. I'm guessing it might be a mite. Infernal in the man cave. It's also Friday on the front porch. Thank you very kindly for participating, if you choose to do so. We'll get the front porch conversation going in about 56 minutes or so. And, of course, the if you're using a Windows 10 machine, see, I don't have to be told this more than once. If you're using a Windows 10 machine, then you don't have to actually use Skype. Windows 10 will just work, and a Windows 10 with a browser will get you right into the conversation lickety-split. So, again, I encourage people who have never participated in Friday on the front porch to jump in and be part of it, to expand the universe of conversational dynamics that happen on Fridays here at The Horn. This incredibly unique conversation that's been going on for so very, very long. And, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means we give out thanks to our fourth day of the month subscribers. And that means thanks ever so kindly to Paul. Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Dave. Thank all three of you for being partial sponsors of the program. Thanks as well to Paul from Parts Unknown for jumping in with his challenge just the same, even though we pulled up short on it by almost entirely. Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for that. So we find ourselves with a, $740 fundraising goal this evening, I think. Let me check. I messaged the Brother Deacon Asa with that. No, I'm sorry. 780. 780 to finish the week. A community-made miracle this evening. $780 for the first not full week of June. Yeah. So hopefully that'll get started at some point in the fairly near future. And we'll get the conversation going in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves fairly quickly. It's been a busy 24 hours or so. It's been a busy week. A lot of cooking, a lot of prepping going on. I'm terribly, terribly excited for the Pride Picnic tomorrow at Maggie's in Fayetteville. Last night, shortly after the program closed, I put the two pork butts that had been smoke brining. I put them on the smoker and got the temperature where I wanted it, about 225 degrees, and watched it till about 1 a.m. and then figured it was where it needed to be. And lo and behold, I set my alarm for 5 a.m. And I love this time of year. I do. Because I walked outside and the dawn was already beginning to brighten the eastern horizon. And so I went over and checked the temperature. Yep, still 225 degrees. It's an unpaid product placement, but if you like to smoke pork, beef, fish, whatever, that char griller acorn for about a third of the price that you spend on one of those highfalutin Kamado cookers can't be beat. It's just fantastic. And so the butts came off, and I wrapped them tightly in aluminum foil, multiple layers thereof, and put them in a cooler, curiously enough, to let them carry over cook for a little while, and then into the refrigerator they went, and they'll get a nice slow warming tomorrow before they get pulled and reduced to wonderful porcine juicy barbecue wonderfulness. And after that, well, the pork butts went off and the briskets went on. And I just pulled, well, I just checked on them about an hour ago, hour and a half ago. They are fantastic. I tried one of the burnt ends just to make sure it was, and it is. So they then went into an aluminum foil pan, got covered tightly with foil, and they're back on top of the 225 degree fire coals, and we're done with the smoking part. And so now they're just going to sort of braise, if you will, to keep them nice and tender. And I'll take them off after the program. Then tomorrow morning is biscuits and catfish fillets. Yeah. It's gonna be some good eats at Maggie's tomorrow. I hope everybody enjoys eating it as much as I have enjoyed making it. Yeah. Billable Rick says, butts, it's always important to wrap your butts tightly. Ah. You guys, y'all are just filthy, okay? I mean, you just are. And delightfully so, I must say. Now, Randy in PA with a question or a thought. I wonder if the glitching might be caused by a lot of people who have converted from copper phone lines to voice over internet protocol, VoIP method of phoning. Add robocalls to the mix, and you may get one clogged internet. Well, it's possible. I mean, cable internet's kind of like a party line anyway, so people are getting home from work, I guess, about now, and first thing they got to do is jump on the interweb tubes and see what's going on there. Mm-hmm. I sincerely do not know. All I know is I pay a ginormous internet bill, and I have yet, over the course of almost 20 years of doing this, I have yet to find a reliable internet service provider. And that's just a fact. Let's see. What else? Well, the way we start most programs here, You Go Girls Part 2, Robin! Oh, hold on. What's that, Steve? Steve in New York says, you're proving something. Our food porn is better than straight food porn. You're proving that once and for all. Oh, and the other night when Darlene and Tracy were talking, and Darlene pointed out that the guys tend to talk more about football and baseball and basketball and hockey and such. I said, nobody ever talks about tennis. I think it was Lee in New York who reminded me, the chief topic away from the usual work of the day is, of course, food porn. Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of food porn, real quick, Ralph's just reminded me of something. There is a new documentary out about Anthony Bourdain. It's called Roadrunner, and there is a clip you can find, I think, on YouTube. It looks like it's going to be good and, well, heartrending, because 4 days from now will be, hard to believe, the third anniversary of Tony Bourdain deciding he was done with this here planet and checking out on his own terms. My God, what would he have said about the January 6th insurrection? What would he have said about the pandemic? Might have been kind of nice to be able to find out. But anyway, Joey, You Go Girls Part 2. Robin, I don't know if the last part of Joey's journal got blipped yesterday, but as you remember, the discussion was with horrible Phyllis Schlafly destroying the women's movement, and Texas State Senator Brian Hughes just openly lying during an interview on CNN with Brianna Keeler, who just nailed Hughes for his shameless lies. And for that, Brianna Keeler received a You Go Girl salute from Jeffrey the Giraffe and the two corgi pups viewing the CNN morning show. Brianna Keeler just kicked ass. But first, I just found the irony of hearing Robin discuss the town of good old Hudson, Ohio yesterday. Yes, this is where the great John Brown hailed from. You may remember John Brown in one of my previous journals several months ago. The raid on Harper's Ferry, Virginia, was an effort by abolitionist John Brown from October 16th to the 18th of 1859 to incite a slave revolt in the southern states by taking over the United States arsenal at the aforementioned Harper's Ferry, Virginia. It was considered the dress rehearsal for the Civil War. And, of course, here comes Jeffrey. On the other hand, Hudson, Ohio is home to some very bigoted people very close to Joey and me, and you know who I'm referring. That would be Polly Want a Cracker and her husband Jack, or Cracker Jack for short. You may remember that we know Polly wants a cracker because she's married to one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, sadly, it was no surprise to me when I heard Robin referring to a retired Army general in Hudson on this past Memorial Day, speaking at an American Legion auxiliary service in Hudson, Ohio, a small town just a half an hour north of Akron, when his microphone was intentionally silenced because he dared mention the fact that how freed black former enslaved people played an early role in honoring fallen soldiers after the Civil War. Yes, Lieutenant Colonel Barnard Kempter's words were intentionally silenced by the local bigots in Hudson, Ohio, the home of John Brown. Shame on you, Hudson, Ohio. And I concur. I would have expected this type of behavior, Joey continues, in a place like Texas, for instance, but in this case, a lovely young woman's voice was heard, and she was not silenced there, as her microphone was not shut off, much to my shocked surprise. And Joey is talking about a young lady by the name of Paxton Smith from North Dallas, Texas. She had worked hard during her four-year career in the high school, and she had achieved valedictorian status. And she gave a nice, bland, palatable copy of a speech to the high school administration, which they approved. And then when she stood up to speak, instead, she delivered a three-minute thunderbolt to the assembled mouth-breathing knuckle-walkers and various maggots and some decent people in the audience. And the topic of her 3 minute blast was the assault on her rights and the rights of her female classmates to make choices about the workings of their own reproductive systems. She pointed out how awful it was, the Texas bill. There wasn't even a rape or incest exception. There's some fleeting reference to the life of the mother, but that wasn't defined. It gives a woman 6 weeks to find out if she's pregnant. And most people who get pregnant don't know until after 6 weeks. And so consequently, it's a dirty piece of business. The Texas legislature knew exactly what they were doing. As of last Sunday, there was a big star that shone very brightly down in Texas, and her name was and is Paxton Smith. She'll be attending the University of Texas at Austin next year, assuming that some angry maggot legislator doesn't try to get her canceled, because Republicans hate cancel culture unless they're the ones doing the canceling. Joey says, I'm so proud of that young woman for demonstrating the courage of her convictions. You go, girl. Please remember, Joey adds, this Sunday is D-Day, and many men died on that day, June the 6th, 1944, during the invasion of Nazi-occupied France, pushing back the fascists some 77 years ago. Most of those people are gone now. A very few, yet remain. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 4th day of June, with Giraffery saluting his Rosie the Riveter poster and handing out a You Go Girl Award to all the hard work the women did back home here in the States during the Second World War. And a $20 Rosie the Riveter challenge is on the table. And hopefully that will get us started toward taking down that $780 community-made miracle number, and meeting that challenge would get us to 740, and that is a start. What's that, Lamar the Magnificent? Since you're having a bit of a problem with your intercable service, if they need some more hamsters to power their company, I have a friend who has a hamster rancho. Just say it, and I'll have my friend send your intercable provider a few thousand. They'd probably screw up the hamsters, too. Jeez. Of course, but in a way, internet service has become like, insurance. Is there anybody out there that really, really, really likes their internet service? That just wakes up every day and says, daggummit, I got the best internet service provider in the country. I do. Never goes down. Absolutely reliable. Because I've never heard of that person. But, as Jeremy in Vermont points out, you're gone and done it again. There you are, bragging about your brine-rubbed butts. Wasn't showing us your jars of your own pickled sausage enough this week. What's next? Showing us how jerked beef should be done? What kind of program is this, for God's sake? I don't remember Rush with half his talent, the brain tied behind his back, ever being this modest about his larger-than-average lifestyle. When he comes back to the air, I'll have to call in and suggest some changes he could implement. Oh, Jeremy. I'm terribly, terribly sorry to let you know, but I think Rush is going to be busy for the foreseeable eternity. Mm-hmm. Now, last I heard, some little demons had come along and pinched off his great big old noggin, and they were using it to play polo on dragons in hell. Just whacking that Limbaugh noggin up and down the brimstone covered field, and occasionally popping it into the net. And every time a little demon scored a goal, Rush Limbaugh's head and mouth would open up, and he would say, "With talent on loan from God, my friends." Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're. just to get us, I mean, there's plenty of serious stuff out there, and maybe we'll get after some of that. But well, because I was up at 5 a.m., I managed to actually catch the beginning of my filthy morning habit and watched most of it. And lo and behold, there was an interview by Garrett Hake of NBC News with my senior senator, Joe Manchin, who was blathering and palavering along about how he will not... Oh, what was the word he used? Because it was the wrong word. I mean, goodness gracious, the art of word knowing is not strong with this guy. Yeah, he will not placate to. He will not placate to the members of his own party in the Senate. I don't think I'm wrong on this. But traditionally, there's not a lot of prepositions that you hang after the word placate. To placate is a verb. Usually it comes, it is followed by a direct object, a predicate to placate a whiny baby, for instance. To pacify, even. But he's not going to placate to. And I'm trying to figure out what Joe was saying or what word he was looking for, but his import was still not lost. Nor was his intent. What he was saying is he doesn't care. He doesn't give a good goddamn who he hurts in America by continuing to play his bipartisan two-step and spending more time trying to placate or perhaps cajole Republicans as opposed to. Well, I mean, look, Moscow Mitch McConnell is, he never misses an opportunity to do the bidding of the 1.4 million maggot Kentuckians who allegedly sent him to office. Weird things with voting machines in districts that never went for McConnell before, notwithstanding. And so the people who voted for Mitch McConnell does things that they like. Instead, Joe Manchin says, "Well, I come from West Virginia, and I've never changed." You know what? Never having changed is not the mark of a human being who is trying to learn something during this all too brief sojourn as sitting up mud, as Kurt Vonnegut described it, on this planet. The whole point of humanity is to grow and change. But no, Joe doesn't want to do any of that growing and changing stuff. I come from West Virginia. I haven't changed, and I'm going to represent West Virginia's interests. Well, Joe, you're the head of the Democratic Party. You're the senior ranking member of the Democratic Party in terms of elected officials in this state. And I know it may come as a great surprise, but Republicans did not put you in office. Democrats did. And I talked to a lot of Democrats around this state, and I can't find anybody who thinks it's a great idea for Joe to continue to perpetuate the racism that is inherent in the filibuster. I have yet to find a single Democrat in any of the Facebook groups that I belong to, the progressive, liberal, Democratic Party politics in West Virginia, who think that there's something noble about hurting people all over America in the name of the staid and stodgy racist traditions of the Senate of the United States. I guess they have to exist, but I'll be dipped if I can find them. I have a feeling they're actually Republicans that he's placating to. And by the way, as for placating to, Brother Deacon Asa points out, Joe must have been honing in on his linguistic skills. Oh, not honing in. Not honing in. Huh. And you know that Joe Manchin is truly behaving horribly when he's the subject of an op-ed from the editors of National Review. National Review, you'll recall, is a publication that has been a right-wing Republican publication that has been consistently wrong about everything forever. And so the National Review, and this is nothing to be proud of, published an editorial in defense of Manchin and Sinema. And they're trying to make it seem as though Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema are some kind of statesmen and women. Yeah. So that's, again, that's not a sign you're, when the National Review is defending you, that's not a sign you're doing something right. The fact that you're being praised by that disgusting old racist rag tells you you are, in fact, doing something wrong. But then there is Kyrsten Sinema. And we've had various and sundry clips from Joe Manchin in the past, and they don't look they don't make him sound particularly brilliant. But then, well, then Kyrsten Sinema showed up and answered some questions about about the filibuster. She was out swanning around with John Cornholio from Texas. And that was, I guess, to provide some impression of the sacred and elusive bipartisanship unicorn. But this is all just Lucy and Charlie Brown and the football. So let's just check in with that little bit of psychobabble from Kyrsten Sinema.
Well, as folks in Arizona know, I've long been a supporter of the filibuster because it is a tool that protects the democracy of our nation rather than allowing our country to ricochet.
Hold on. That audio is terribly, terribly low. Let's bring it up somewhere else. Because she was asked, you know, why are you hurting America, Kyrsten? Why do you continue to support this revolting and holdover anachronism from our racist, vicious past? And I mean, word salad is not hard to come by. But damn, this is a word salad with like marshmallows and fruit cocktail and, oh, I don't know, cream cheese and maybe some garlic. I mean, it's just not a word salad anybody really that has any real palatability to it.
Well, as folks in Arizona know, I've long been a supporter of the filibuster because it is a tool that protects the democracy of our nation rather than allowing our country to ricochet wildly every 2 to 4 years.
No, Kyrsten, it does not protect democracy in the United States of America because there is no democracy in the Senate because democracy means majority rule, and the filibuster is expressly a manifestation of minority rule. It doesn't protect democracy because there is no democracy as long as there is a filibuster. And it's going to be so embarrassing for both of them. It's going to be terribly embarrassing. Because if there's a Republican president again and a Republican Senate, the rest of the filibuster will disappear so goddamn fast, it won't even leave skid marks. But this poor fool thinks she's protecting democracy by perpetuating a racist anachronism. Good for you, Kyrsten. Good for you.
Back and forth between policies. The idea of the filibuster was created by those who came before us in the United States Senate to create comity and to encourage senators to find bipartisanship and work together. And while there are some who don't believe that bipartisanship is possible, I think that I'm a daily example that bipartisanship is possible.
No, Kyrsten, you're not. You're not that example. You're an example of a wishy-washy Democrat who can't quite bring herself to act on the behalf of the vast majority of Americans, a lot of whom aren't quite as, you know, pink as you. Somebody's trying to, somebody is feeding her some serious horseshit fake civics. What did she say about how the filibuster came to be? You back up a sec.
It's created by those who came before us in the United States Senate to create comity.
Yeah, it was created by those who came before us in the United States Senate. Gee, Kyrsten, what was one of the dominant economic factors at the time those who came before you in the Senate, what was that? Oh, slavery! The filibuster existed to perpetuate inequality and inequity. That ain't that hard to learn. It wasn't something that was a big part of the discussions among the framers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787. It just wasn't. It wasn't created to create bipartisan solutions. It was created with one thing and one thing in mind only, and that was to create Southern dominance, even in situations where Southern senators would not be part of the majority. It was a way of creating minority rule by slavers. That's all.
And to encourage senators to find bipartisanship and work together. And while there are some who don't believe that bipartisanship is possible, I think that I'm a daily example that bipartisanship is possible. Not just this trip today and tomorrow that John and I are doing, but the work that John and I and many other of my colleagues in both parties do on a regular basis. So to those who say we must make a choice between the filibuster and X, I say this.
Yeah, X is goddamn democracy, Kirsten. That's what X is. We must make a choice between filibuster and democracy. Because the two are absolutely, they cannot coexist. They have not coexisted. They will not coexist. I can conjugate the entire goddamn... And I guess there are people out there who will fall for this sort of bilious foolishness. I mean, among other things, at the time that she said this, Kyrsten Sinema, she was standing next to and gestured toward John Cornholio, who filibustered an independent commission to look into the attack on the Capitol that took place on January 6th. Oh, goddess of irony. Oh.
This is a false choice. The reality is that when you have a system that's not working effectively, and I would think that most would agree that the Senate's not a particularly well-oiled machine, right?
Oh, it's a well-oiled machine. And the Senate's well-oiled machine is oiled with human blood, Kirsten. Ugh, I despise, I loathe obfuscation. And that's what it is.
The way to fix that is to change your behavior. Not to eliminate the rules or change the rules, but to change your behavior.
Oh, so she's going to change the behavior of Josh Hawley and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. She's going to change the behavior of Marsha Gedneth Blackburn and the behavior of Tommy the Tuber, Senator Potato Head, Tuberville, Tater Town. Tommy Tatertown kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? What, is she going to give him a timeout? Oh, damn, please, don't make him cry.
So I'm going to continue to go to work every day, aggressively seeking bipartisanship in a cheerful and happy warrior way, as I always do, and showing that when we work together, we can get things done.
A lot of folks say that the filibuster is a relic of the Jim Crow era.
Okay, that question, if you couldn't hear it. A lot of people say, why does it have to be a lot of people say? The reporter asking this question. Now, Senator, the filibuster is a relic of the Jim Crow era. What say you? A lot of people say, but that's the question.
Those things from the Jim Crow era, so why would you support the filibuster?
Well, the filibuster was not created as a tool to accomplish one thing or another. It was created as a tool to bring together members of different parties to find compromise and coalition.
No, it wasn't. It was created to make sure that certain status quos were maintained and democracy be damned.
When you think about our founding fathers, when they created the Senate with two senators from every state, regardless of population size, with elections staggered every, 6 years so that only a third of the body is up for election each cycle.
Shh, don't anybody tell Kyrsten Sinema. But the founding fathers originally made the Senate a body that was selected by the state legislatures. Popular election of senators would be a while coming along.
Michael, it was designed to be a place where you cooled the passions of the House, where you work together to find the compromise, and importantly, where you protect the rights of the minority from the majority, regardless of which party is in the majority at the time.
Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be embarrassing if the Republicans get back hold of the Senate and just kill it. And you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe Kyrsten can cry some great big crocodile tears about how they're not being all bipartisan when she was a living example of bipartisanship. Yes, damn. I know. And meanwhile, back to Placate 2. Steve in New York says, I'm sure Joe Manchin could care less what you think. Yeah, there's another one. Steve continues and says, oh, dear Robin, don't you see? We should not have amended the Constitution with the 14th Amendment enshrining equality. We should have focused on changing our country's behavior. I'm just waiting for her to say, I don't know who this Jim Crow person was, but I've never met him. Have you? Well, Joe Manchin practically did that a few weeks back. Well, I don't know why anybody would do that Jim Crow thing. Oh my God, says Darlene in Connecticut. She's either totally fucking stupid or really craves the attention of old Republican men because she's doing their dirty work for them. We know Republicans are laughing their asses off at this with glee. Yeah, well, yes, as a matter of fact, they are, Darlene. Damn, Robin, says Megan. What the fuck is Kyrsten Sinema doing with John Cornholio? What's next? Tulsi Gabbard saying she's friends with Trey Gowdy? Oh, no, wait. Yeah, I guess we don't have Tulsi to kick around anymore. Yeah. Ooh, says Arthur. Another offering in the sainted on the sainted altar of bipartisanship. Benjamin Franklin handcrafted the filibuster as a way to ensure Jesus would always favor America. Sure, why not? OMG part two from Darlene. I really am beginning to think she's a Republican. She's spewing their talking points. Well, somewhere down the road, you know, if she gets beat, maybe she can get a wingnut welfare job. And the funny thing is, I remember back in the early parts of this century, she was a darling, and I don't mean that in any gendered sense, but she was a darling of Keith Olbermann when he still had his show, because he would bring her on the program, and by God, she'd bring the fire. She'd light it up. She talked in progressive terms, and I mean, take no prisoners. But see, somehow she managed to actually win a senatorial election in Arizona, and she wants to stay a senator, I guess. And she thinks, like Joe Manchin does, that she can't keep being a senator unless she bows and scrapes and abases herself before the people who pick their fucking teeth with their goddamn toenail clippings. It's the best explanation I have. Matt in San Francisco. Kirsten, she's so full of shit her eyes are brown. Oh, yeah. And she's got her head so far up Mitch McConnell's ass that every time he sneezes, you can see her smiling face. Aggressive bipartisanship, Suman asks. How does one seek aggressive bipartisanship? If one were aggressive, wouldn't that negate the seeking of the aforementioned bipartisanship? I'll have to ask her that in her next town hall. Come up with a list, Suman, and I mean, we'll be happy to help. It would be lovely if she did have a town hall and, a few thousand decent Arizonans, Democrats, could show up and just inundate her with their disgust. At present, there are untold millions of votes by people who are lawfully allowed to vote in this country who will not vote in 2022. Because they will not be allowed to vote in 2022. Because they live in Republican states where, old balls and strikes, dead eyes, John Roberts said there ain't no racism no more. And so, consequently, people's rights to vote have been severely curtailed. See Georgia, see Texas. Yeah. Arizona, maybe. And the reason those people will not be allowed to vote in 2022 or 2024 is because Kyrsten Sinema wants to change the behavior of rabid junkyard dogs. So often, because he was so prescient, I think of our departed friend Bart Kopp, who used to post this was before there were such things as memes. He would post a picture of a rabid, frothing, snarling, vicious, fang-bared dog. And he would ask, how do you negotiate with one of these? How does she plan? And these are the questions that should be asked, Suman. How do you plan to achieve bipartisanship with someone who supported an attack on the capital of the United States designed to overturn a fair and democratic election, like Josh Hawley, like Ted Cruz? How do you get your bipartisanship with them? How do you get bipartisanship with Mitch McConnell when Mitch McConnell says his only goddamn goal in life is to be the Grim Reaper and make sure no legislation favored by Joe Biden gets through the Senate, just as he did with Barack Obama? How? How? And I guarantee you she will not give a straight answer. So if she does, Suman, I hope if she has a town hall in Arizona, you will go. And I hope you will ask. Because based on the foregoing audio, the answer should be a real knee slapper. And meanwhile, says Megan, if Joe Manchin insists on being the pretty, pretty princess of the Senate, he can at least wear a tiara, a hoop skirt, a sash, and a cape. Because at least that would make his blatherings more entertaining. And if Sinema insists on chasing the bipartisan unicorn, she can turn around and ask John Cornholio or Fled Cruz how well they'll preserve bipartisanship in preserving her rights in being a single, bisexual, atheist female who practices law. Because that's a thing, too. She, with her cute little curtsy and her little anime skirt and her thumbs down thing that she did,
on a $15 minimum wage. Yeah, she put the shiv to gay, straight, and bi, trans, asexual, non-binary, queer, queer questioning, intersex, everybody. But she is technically a member of a marginalized community, given her bisexuality. She has a stripe on the rainbow flag. And I wonder if she'll have the nerve, or if she has already. Suman, if you know this, or anybody else in the Horn Family Community Congregation in Arizona, has she dared to show up at any Pride events? If she shows up at any Pride events, will she be booed out of there, given the way she has behaved toward the rainbow community? And here's another question. Should she be? Or should we all be just totally kumbaya about that? As I've said before, this is my first Pride Month. Or it's the first time I've observed it being on the inside. And there's something about people who shiv their own marginalized communities in the name of changing the behavior and bipartisanship that just makes me want to vomit. But the bottom line to all of this is that her privilege is showing through. It's glowing in the dark. Her white wealth privilege is showing. And even, you know, even if she isn't rich as, say, maybe she doesn't have spaceship money like Elon Musk and Bishop Willard Romney, but she still has considerable wealth privilege. So, let's kind of put a sticky on that. And see what happens with her. Boo! 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 You remember the booing of Princess Buttercup in The Princess Bride? Yeah. As Arthur said, when the founders created the Senate, it was designed so the Republicans always won. Well, here's the thing. At the time of the Constitutional Convention, James Madison was still writing lengthy essays with extremely complex compound sentences, in which he prayed, Federalist Number 10 being the classic case, he practically prayed that there would be no factions, and factions was 1787 speak for political parties. The Senate of the United States, we should remember, was created in a vacuum. It was created when there were no political parties. There were factions. There had been factions under the Articles of Confederation. But for the scheme that little Jimmy Madison had in mind, he knew that faction would be poison to it. And it wasn't even part the filibuster of their considerations. The filibuster came along with the rise of political parties. And in particular, to defend the political parties that were primarily the political parties that were dominant among the slavery class, the wealth class of the old South. Man. So your point is taken, Arthur. John in Central PA. Are you talking about Joe Manchin again? It's almost like he's your senator or something, and it's not like he has the country's well-being by the balls. LOL, I kid. But I saw members of the Sparkle Fart Propelled Unicorn Cavalry Purity Patrol said, y'all should just primary him and get it over with. Stop. Don't get up and kick furniture. It's all right. They're just fucking stupid. And whenever I see that shit, I do calmly, I don't say fucking stupid or anything, I will calmly offer a comment and I will explain that Joe Manchin, if he's primaried, will probably win. But that if he doesn't, if, you know, the sun rises in the west and the sky is pink polka dotted and well, you get the idea. If somehow a primary challenger to Joe Manchin were to win in West Virginia, you've heard me say it before, let me reinforce it. That primary challenger who beats Joe Manchin will in turn be beaten like a borrowed mule by a maggot Republican in this state who will make Joe Manchin look like Che Guevara and Shelley Moore Capito, a Republican, look like Fidel Castro. It's a fact. That person does not exist in the state of West Virginia, and even if that person does exist, the person who can primary and beat Joe Manchin, the voting base does not exist to propel that person into office. Now, I guess I could be credibly accused of just being cynical. But maybe someone else might point out that I actually know a little bit about the electorate of West Virginia. And I know how easily motivated they are because they have because of the paucity of civic education. And they can be led around by the nose on issues like bathroom bills. And they're going to take away your Jesus. I mean, I get it now, granted, and I can't tell you how grateful I am for the fact that this isn't from West Virginia. But, in fact, it's from Nevada. Carson City, Nevada, to be precise. There was a great mass of mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks picking their teeth with their toenail clippings who showed up at a school board meeting shortly before the school year ended, and it ended yesterday. And they came in to complain about the critical race theory and the 1619 Project, and they don't want none of their children, the children of Carson City, Nevada, being taught none of that, that everybody, all white people are bad and all black people are good. And they don't want them using the school board, they don't want them using that word equity. Mm-hmm. Because a little turd muncher by the name of Christopher Rufo, who has gotten some standing in white wing, and I do mean white circles, for his excoriation of actually teaching the history of this country, well, they was all upset about the word equity. But they were upset about some other things, too. And, of course, these were Trump voters. These were good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans. And, curiously, only three of the ungodly number of people who showed up actually had kids in the schools there. But they just wanted to go somewhere and grouse and LARP and Smolik and Grabolate all over and grunt and hoot and moan and bark. One mouth-walking knuckle breather said everybody on this school board should be fired. Make people take the vaccine because the vaccine, it has aborted fetal cells and monkey kidney cells and the E. coli and animal parts and spermicide and more. And everybody who got the vaccine is going to be dead in 2 years. No, really? Monkey kidney cells. Got the damnedest craving for a fucking banana. I don't know. Maybe the spermicide explains something. Yeah, another woman stood up at the meeting, and she said she was worried about world control. This woman did. And then she played a recording of herself talking along with accompaniment from a piano as she prayed for America to not fall to socialism and communism. Not to socialism and the communism. And we let these people vote. And the Constitution insists that they be allowed to vote. But there's enough of them. They can fuck up the whole country, not just the Carson City School Board. So, you know, again, I'm grateful for the fact that that story's not out of West Virginia. But it's there. No fucking way, says Jack in Shreveport. Oh, my God. No fucking way. Monkey cells, really? Or was that your addition? No. Monkey kidney cells in the vaccines. As Steve in New York points out, urethra. Now I know why I've had this excruciating desire to fling poo at people. Yeah, I know. So it's not just the 5G liquid barcodes that Bill Gates put in there. Apparently somebody got hold of some monkey kidney cells from Alex Jones. You know, from the old wet markets of old Kowloon. And there we are. Oh, my God. But that's Merca. Somebody cue up the John Mellencamp. Ain't that America, land, home of the free? Ain't that America for you and me and little not pink houses? And you can find this all over the place. Speaking of flinging poo, oh my God, let's go back to Ohio. In particular, let's go back to Greenville, Ohio, somewhere in the western part of the state. 70-year-old Jerry Detrick got caught about 3 o'clock in the morning not too long back. Well, what did he get caught doing, Rob? Well, he got caught repeatedly pissing and shitting in front of his neighbor's house. Yeah. His neighbor caught him mid-squat about 3:15 a.m. in Greenville and called the cops. And the cops came and arrested Jerry Detrick, 70 years old. And he's just a truth-telling American citizen. And he said, I shit in their yard all kinds of times. Probably wrong accent. I done it because them people are Democrats. And they support Joe Biden. And I'm a Trump man. The Sherlock Holmes, who was writing the police report, said, "This leads me to believe this incident is politically motivated." That would be Officer Sam Connolly. Really? A serial yard-pooping bandit. And of course, he's a maggot. And we know that they were, the maggots on January 6th were shitting in their hands and wiping it on the walls of the Capitol of the United States. And somehow or another, wait, because this is the punchline. The charge for this guy? Yeah, 70-year-old Jerry Detrick was charged by Officer Sam Connolly with littering. Littering. I had no idea that the statutes of the state of Ohio were so bereft of other potential criminal charges. I mean, he was caught in the middle of the act. Shouldn't he be on the sex offender registry? I mean, you can be placed on the sex offender registry for indecent exposure if you're just caught peeing on a dumpster behind the bar. I mean, that has happened. But, you know, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Hey, it's like the road signs say. Littering can come with up to $1,000 fine. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. Steve in New York says, Greenville, Ohio. That's actually my hometown. You've got the accent right, by the way. Well, I'll be dipped. Yeah, Megan, meanwhile, says, a serial yard-pooping bandit? Isn't that the dictionary definition of a raccoon? Why, God damn it, it may be. There's your modern Republican Party. And how do you... I mean, is there an argument that it isn't? Or how about the Trump supporter in Roselle Park, New Jersey? They're asking Andrea Dick to take down her pro-Trump signs. And, of course, she's having a freedom crisis. They want me to take the flags down by Monday, which is not happening. I'm not doing it. I have a right to have those flags. They're freedom of speech. Because children go by the house. The house is not far at all from an elementary school. And the decidedly aptly named Andrea Dick has put up these profanities and these anti-Biden ugly vulgar signs. But no, that's her. That's her freedom. Apparently one of the signs is Fuck Joe Biden. And, right. Now, I'm still trying to find the both-siderism aspect of this, but oh well. Greenville Creep, Clarence in South Carolina says, Robin, I know you don't like violence. If it was my property, I would step to his ass. Todd knows what that means. The fuck is wrong with people? Yeah. Oh, please hurry the fuck up, says Silent R. Lamar. Getting impatient, waiting for the cue, and all the Trump followers experience the Jim Jones moment. Finish drinking the Kool-Aid and allow Jim Jones to lead them to the promised land of hell. Well, you know, if he told them to do it, they would do it. Some significant number of them, Lamar, would do it. Step to his ass, huh? Thanks, Clarence. Billable Rick wants to know, can you ask Steve from New York if the dude who repeatedly shat on his neighbor's front lawn is related to it? Also, why is it always a guy who unloads like that? I think he's got a kindred spirit in New Jersey, and maybe if they try to force her to take down her filthy, vulgar signs, she'll go shit in her neighbor's yards, too. Let's not gender this thing. That would be sexist. And it goes on and on and on. But I'd like to get the... I'd like to get the front porch started. As for Kirsten Sinema and Keith Olbermann, Brother Deacon Asa says, one could argue back in the day, Kirsty and Sinema was the S.E. Cup of the left. Too soon? meanwhile, Todd says, in regard to the critical race theory in the 1619 Project, the political house of cards begins to fall when one looks at American history objectively. Appeasement to the plantation South and counting Negroes as 3/5 of a person. The filibuster is directly related to appeasing the plantation South along with the assistance of the Electoral College. When these customary institutions are eliminated, we may begin to have a fair form of representative democracy. This threatens the power of the other side, which explains why they don't want everyone to vote. They are, as I've said before, woolly mammoths standing trunk deep in the tar pit and bellowing their wrath to an uncaring universe as they sink slowly, into their demise. Oh, and thank you, Todd. Todd jumped in to get things going this evening. Most helpful. And so the Rosie the Riveter challenge has been met. Thank you, Todd. And that means we're down to $740 to go to finish this week in this, it's been a struggle. Thank you, Todd. Hopefully we'll knock down a considerable amount more because the bills mount up, and what it takes to keep this program on the air is not minimal. No. And so let's join the let's go over the river and through the trees and wander into the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves and see what Sparky's got going on around the extraordinary ordinary round table. Hey, Sparky.
Hang on.
Yeah, okay. I gotta rotate this.
There we go.
I had to mute some people.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, it's 105 degrees inside the man cave.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a little unpleasant.
It's 77 degrees sitting here in my office where I'm presently caretaking a lame dog.
Oh, what's wrong with Grady?
Did something to his right paw, right front paw. He doesn't want to step on it.
Ooh, I hope he didn't pick up. I hope he didn't pick up a thorn or something.
Well, I've inspected his foot. I didn't see nothing. He had a fox tail in it in one of them over a year ago. But usually when I'm out back, if he gets a thorn in his foot, I usually pull it out. I'm taking him to the vet on Wednesday. I got an appointment, and my minion friend in my high school, now sophomore, going to be a sophomore in high school, who can't wait to get his learner's permit because he's already bought himself a truck. Still has to get his mom to drop him off. She just works about a half a mile away. So he's going to come over Wednesday and help me get Grady to the vet. I think I'm going to have some help getting his 75-pound body into the car.
Oh, dear.
That's what's another than that. I've been in here, sitting in here this afternoon, battling flies. It's that time of year again.
Ew.
With the cows around, I get a lot of flies come around.
Well, yeah, I mean, they kind of go with the time and the territory, right?
Right. And then I call them the cowbirds come, eat the flies off the cows.
Ew.
It's just like being the birds lining on a...
That's just... Oh, well, yeah.
They land on their head and they sit there and they pick off flies. Nature's abounds up here. Even if... browner than brown there. I mean, yellow.
Oh, that's a win.
Just give us one dry lightning storm and that'll all change.
Yeah, right quick.
Next week either. There's none in the forecast, but it's not going to cool down until Tuesday, I think.
Well, here, as predicted, tomorrow is going to probably be the most perfect day of 2021 thus far.
No cameras, please. Turn off your video.
There we go.
So what were you going to say?
Well, no, it's going to be absolutely beautiful today, or tomorrow. I think the high here, tomorrow's high is 88, and nothing predicted but sunshine. So I better have a hat tomorrow, or I'm going to get my little noggin scorched. But the food is going to be fan-damn-tastic.
Just get you one of them big old straw hats.
I got one. I'm looking at one right now. And that's probably going to be the case.
That's the kind my neighbor wears all the time. She used to be a redhead, but now she's got gray hair. She's freckled, befreckled, and then she burns easy. She's out. She likes to do yard work.
Good. Well, let's bounce around in the conversation, see who's got what to say.
You got a new person, Benjamin from Germany's here.
Yeah, and I noticed that earlier. Benjamin, welcome to the conversation.
Got to unmute.
Oh, and well, until Benjamin does jump in, I'm happy to announce that we do have a challenge on the table to help bring down that $740. Anonymously, there is a $100 When Billionaires Choose You Lose challenge. It's on the table, and it would be a tremendous help if that could be matched.
Yep, we just lost Benjamin.
It sounded like the audio is a little bit not great.
Well, he was probably listening to you on another device.
That could be. Oh, I just had a note from Ron in Raleigh. Did you hear? Your boy Jesse Lee Peterson said we shouldn't be celebrating the Sinful Pride Month. We should hold off till July because that's when he wants to celebrate White History Month because we don't hear any white history and they're the best people on earth. Uncle Ruckus has nothing on Jesse Lee. Oh, my God. Probably need to find that clip. Never a dull moment with Jesse Lee Peterson. I'll never forget the time that he gave the interview in front of a wall of bottles of Maker's Mark, and everything suddenly became quite clear. Oh, some damn good photography going up in the chat there. Roger, I guess that looks like Roger's efforts. The crop is planted. Oh, my. What kind of crop might that be?
Well, it's a crop that needs some support, and Sparky can tell you all about it.
Is that the devil's lettuce?
Yep. 400 plants.
As far as the eye can freaking see.
Anyhow, I got Christopher hanging out in my little mother-in-law unit / man cave today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then we're going to go out for dinner.
We've got mean we've got a horn meeting of the minds at Chez Roger?
See.
Absolutely. Are we feeding back on each other?
So far, so good.
We got our headphones on.
Hey, Robin?
Yes.
Here's something funny about one of those things you talked about. My partner, when he first came to the U.S., stayed with somebody in, you guessed it, Roselle Park, New Jersey. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Steve.
Wasn't that the crazy lady? Wasn't she in Roselle Park, New Jersey?
Yes, she was. With the vulgar signs?
Yes. So, yeah, he lived in Roselle Park for a brief period of time.
So, wait a minute. Okay, this is too much coincidence for one Friday on the front porch to contain.
Yeah.
Greenville, Ohio. The home of the maggot pooper.
Yeah.
You really were, that really is your hometown?
Yeah, I was born in Greenville, Ohio, Wayne Hospital in Greenville, Ohio. My grandparents lived on 108 Marquith Avenue. My grandma lived at Donald Drive over by the park near the high school. It's called Greenville is called the Treaty City because of the Treaty of Greenville. And the greatest.
Which group of indigenous Americans did we screw over in that treaty?
I honestly don't even remember. And they have one of the most famous divey loose meat sandwich places in the country called the Made Right, and they're famous for the gum wall. If anybody wants to look it up.
Okay, I think we've talked about, and I've heard of, the Made Right.
Yeah. But I've made rice in other places, but that one, the one there was, you know.
So what is, I mean, that, pardon me, it just sounds a little sketchy. What is a loose meat sandwich?
No, it's like hamburger, but it's not, it's steamed in.
It's a hamburger, not in patty form.
It's crumbly, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what it's formally called, but that was a Roseanne episode, and when I saw how they what they made on Roseanne, that's what the Made Right looked like, and that's kind of, I mean, they wouldn't call it that, but so it's steamed in beer, sugar, I don't remember what, I found out so many people claim to have the recipe, but beer was definitely one of the things you'd steam it in. I sent you something via email. I hope you something pride-ish.
Oh,
or at least it was I don't know. It wasn't. It's not. I don't think it will be from me. But it where it came from, I signed it. So.
Oh, okay. I don't. Is it? Is it from you? I mean, is it from your email address?
I don't think so.
You're not making this easy.
Well, I know. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but what I am going to do is I'm going to get a link to it and I'm going to put it in your the Facebook Messenger deal.
Okay, that works. That'll be easier to find.
Where the fuck is it? There we go.
Oh, and well, thank you. Thank you, Ralph. Ralph sent me, somehow I missed it, the Jesse Lee clip. Dear God, I can't wait. We got to do this. By the way, some evangelicals are trying to say that Pride Month should be replaced by Christianity Month because God created the rainbow.
Yeah, and we don't ever hear anything about straight pride or straight people or anything.
No. No, you're gonna enjoy the hell out of Jesse Lee here. This is some restaurant quality stupid.
Remember how back in the day, about 10 or so years ago, when the gay marriage debate was really taking off?
Oh, and by the way, he's showing up as a guest on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. The segment is Combating the Culture War. Get the bottle of rot gut tequila. This is going to be fun.
Often we had the Supreme Court case and everything going on at the time. It was, well, what goes on in people's bedroom isn't anyone else's business. And now, of course, they brought the bedroom to the streets, and now we have to visualize everything, see it all, hear all the gross, itty-bitty, degenerate details of other people's lives, and then we're being forced to encourage it and to promote it. And since you're a pastor, and given your background with spiritual matters, what do you make of America? We're supposed to be founded on Judeo-Christian principles, dedicating an entire month to pride, one of the seven deadly sins. What do you make of that?
I think that we as Christians must stand up and fight against evil. Our battle is a warfare between good and evil, right versus wrong. It's not about men or women. It's about what's right. And if we continue to go down this road and allow evil to prevail in our country, it can only lead to destruction. We must love God so that we can overcome fear, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we have to change our relationship with things and not be worried about a job or what we're going to lose. Our soul is more valuable than material things. And they're controlling the Christians by threatening to take material things away from them. So we got to stand up. We should have never fallen for this idea that, oh, we just want to come out of the closet. Just let us out of the closet. And then they said, oh, we want to go to church, but we don't.
Well, I mean, it wasn't up to Jesse Lee or any of the other religious maniacs whether anybody was let out. That was kind of the whole point of the origins of this month-long celebration. It's about refusing to be kept in.
want to be talked about at church. So a lot of preachers stop mentioning that homosexuality is wrong, that something has gone wrong, and they must...
What planet does dude live on? Because I'm pretty sure the Baptists are still bellowing and bleeding against anybody who doesn't do it in the dark. One man and one woman in the missionary position, unless it's the preacher with the church secretary.
Repent and return to God. Now they have taken over the churches. There are a lot of preachers who are afraid to speak out against so-called Pride Month. You know, I started the White History Month in July. This is our fourth year coming up where we're celebrating White History. And what I've noticed that in
a... The thing I can't figure out is, did nobody tell Jesse Lee that January's White History Month, February's White History Month, March is White History Month, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, lather, rinse, repeat, it's all White History Month? Oh, the stupid is strong with this one.
America, a country that was founded by white people and created by white people, one of the greatest...
Yeah, in which, you know, not white people did the vast majority of the goddamn work. Yeah, bullshit, exactly, Sparky.
Country on this side of heaven. And so white people invited all these other... allowed this, all this other stuff to happen, but...
Wait, hold on! White people invited other people?
Sorry, I just had a coronary. I think I'm not the only one.
Invited.
Hey, Robin, I thought Rick Santorum founded our nation.
Well, I mean, there wasn't any Indian culture here or anything.
Grandpappy, yeah.
Yeah, just...
Can I say something?
Yeah, go right ahead. I think something needs to be said.
I find if we address this kind of shit, we end up playing on their turf.
We're not addressing. We're just laughing, Steve.
Okay, but like when I hear, you know what? So what if white people started it? And
but they didn't.
I know, but my point. But what does that then mean? Wait, see where I'm going here. I put this in the same category as, well, the Chinese engineered the coronavirus. Well, so what? Does that mean that we shouldn't have worked to cure people? So if let's just, and again, I know you're right, Robin, I know this is what he's saying is, you know, he must be making serious bank to be spewing this shit. I mean, come on. I mean,
well, he's got a church grift.
But wow. I mean, this is better than all the, I mean, even the ex-gays eventually said, I can't do this anymore. I don't care how much cash I'm
making. Wait a minute. No. I got one of them too.
You know what? Now I can understand why people get to the point where they commit harikiri or whatever and go, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to check out.
No, you can't run away. We're having too much fun.
Oh, but I mean, people go, you know what? This is why I understand why people like Ted Kaczynski finally go, I'm checking out. I'm going to go live in a rundown old shack in the woods because the crazy's just too much.
Yeah, I know. And it's just like Randy in PA says, depraved people. Depraved people. Jesse Lee, you mean like, you know, the Kardashians and Caitlyn and, you know, depraved? Or how? No, I got better. Randy in PA, I got better depraved.
How about the Duggars?
How about the Duggars? Hey, how about the Cheneys? Those are some depraved people. How about the Bushes? Those are some depraved people. You gotta be pretty depraved to the Trumps. Yeah, there's some depravity.
I mean, like you said, Robin, remember that photo of Ivanka sitting on his lap with the screwing birds on the end of the thing there? The
copulating parrots. Oh, yeah.
Never seen it. This is Christopher in Japan. I just want to say, or Oregon, I just want to say hi. But yeah, that's the creepiest stuff in the world. And I'm not trying to interrupt him. Sorry. Go on. Man, that Trump, Ivanka is really creepy stuff. Yeah, go on.
Well, let's hear a little bit more from Jesse Lee, just for the hell of it.
You could celebrate everything but white history. We must remember white history, because if it wasn't for that, there would be no America. And so they got black history, women history, Mexican history, so-called gay pride. What's pride? What's happy about being perverted? There's nothing good about that, living in sin, right? But we celebrate, I don't, but they celebrate that. But when it comes to white history, they're afraid to even mention white history. But we got to bring that back, because that's who made America great.
Bring it back. Got to bring back white history, because it's gone right now. There isn't any. Fresh out. Pumps are dry. No more white history.
No more Wonder Bread, Robin?
No more Wonder Bread.
Hey, so do I have to throw away my college history books?
Well, I mean, has it got any white history in it? Because there isn't any more.
Well, it's got a whole bunch of history, and it's got black history. It's got Indian history.
Oh, well.
I probably never told you this, but I had a PhD history professor in junior college.
Aren't they awesome?
Yeah. This is when I was going to school on the GI Bill, and everybody else in the class was a lot younger than me. I was 23, going on 24. there was 18.
Yeah, you were the old guy.
He used to call on me all the time.
Yes, I love history professors. I had a minor in history myself. Sounds like a great guy. I like being called on. I went a few times in a class to ask to tell him that, yeah, I know what's going on here. I know what you're talking about. You know, let me give you my spiel. That stuff was all great, actually. Sounds like you were doing well.
Well, it was U.S. history 17A and 17B. Two semesters.
Yeah, well, that's good enough, you know. It's probably good quality education, you know, if you can afford it in this country. So, yeah.
Well, I was going to school on the GI Bill.
But anyway, go. Yeah. Good for you, man. Good for taking advantage of it, you know.
Rick's here.
Yeah, this is Gary from Illinois.
Oh, hey, Gary.
Oh, how's it going? When I had the best high school history teacher I've ever heard of. The guy didn't make us remember dates or nothing like that. He just, we went through each year, his whole thing was, so what? This happened. What caused it, and what did it cause? So, you know, go through history that way. And all our tests were essay tests, you know, on a certain subject or anything. So, I mean, he actually learned history. He didn't learn just dates.
That's how it should be. You got to get the gist of it, you know. And it's not about facts and figures. You got to understand the narrative, so to speak. It's the narratives. That's the history written by the victor stuff. But yeah, history is great. I love history.
Well, there's this thing, and it's kind of, I don't know if it's a formal term, but it's called the great man theory of history. And we tend to teach history in terms of what this or that white man did, when in fact no individual white man accomplished really anything. I mean, George Washington's a classic case in point. He was, as I've mentioned before, he was famous for his beer. He didn't brew any beer. He was famous for the weed that he cultivated. He didn't grow any weed. He was famous for the food on his dinner table. He didn't cook a goddamn thing.
I can ask you a serious history question on this topic. Grant, U.S. Grant, was he really a whiskey drunk like the city was?
A lot of that was it was certainly whispered about him by people who desperately wanted to not see him advance. But, you know, he probably did, look, the job he had, he probably threw a few slugs back every night. We know he was a cigar chomping fool. Ultimately, he died of throat cancer.
I just want to chime in with my it's just that I have studied this in the Shelby Foote Civil War history. He detailed that actually Lincoln, when these rumors were floating, Lincoln came out and said, what kind of whiskey does he drink?
Because I'm going to send a barrel to every one of my generals.
Anyway, go on.
Ulysses S. Grant did get in trouble for drinking when he was stationed at Fort Humboldt in Humboldt County, California.
Yeah, that's true, because he was miserable.
Yeah, he's probably on that lettuce, that evil lettuce, because they grow a lot of that in Humboldt, so that was probably why.
They didn't back then.
I don't think they were growing it back then. George Washington was still growing it in D.C., though, or down in Mount Vernon. They called it hemp back then. They made rope out of it.
Can someone please mute?
Oh, that's a lovely card, Steve. Thank you very much.
Very welcome. Oh, by the way, real quick, did you read the thing that I sent you about D-Day, the Reagan speech?
Yeah. I didn't read it on air, but I did.
Have you ever heard that speech?
Yeah, I have. I have.
And again, you know, I'm no fan of his, but I. And that one line, that one stanza that I put in there is just, you know, whatever you say about him, as my dad said about him, he was a stately old fool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when he gave that speech, he brought to bear every last bit of B-movie actor talent he had.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it was.
I mean, he could mostly, before he lost his mind, he could read anything anybody wrote for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just hand him a script.
Right, because it was all one big acting job. And he was so far gone by toward the end of his second term that he didn't know the difference between Grover Cleveland and Grover Cleveland Alexander.
And Grover the dog on Sesame Street. Ha ha ha, yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, Grover Cleveland was a president of the United States, and
I know.
Grover Cleveland Alexander was a baseball pitcher.
Okay, see, you're much more knowledgeable than I am, being the hillbilly elitist and all, so. By the way, did anybody watch the infamous hit in the Montreal-Winnipeg game the other night? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, not a hockey fan.
They made a movie about Grover Cleveland Alexander.
Yeah, and Ronald Reagan played in it and thought he had played a president.
I couldn't remember who was in it, but I can remember seeing the movie as a kid.
Oh, and by the way, I am now looking at a photograph, Steve, in New York, of the Made Right Sandwich Shop at 125 North Broadway Street, Greenville.
Yep, and it's got the green, windows, the green glass, thick green glass windows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little awning over the door.
Uh-huh. Do you see the gum wall?
No.
If you look at the site, they actually have shirts that look like somebody stuck gum all over them.
What a thing to turn into a thing.
Yes, well, and it's been there for Jesus. I mean, my dad talked about going there in high school.
Well, did your family did your family know any Detricks?
I don't know. I'd have to see how it was spelled, because
Detrick.
Doesn't sound familiar. I'd have to know. I could, if I knew where in town it happened, I might be able to surmise. But you know, I haven't been to Greenville in I couldn't tell. I mean, my grandparents died in 2007, and I don't know that I've been back since, maybe once or twice. It's been, I'll say, 10 years since I've been there. I don't know.
Well, let's see. I might be able to help you out with an address. It was at 614 North Broadway Street. The victim, that's where the serial pooping was taking place.
Because Broadway goes right through town. The victim, and then
The perpetrator stated he was walking home from Danny's Bar on South Broadway Street, as he does most nights. Jerry stated he had walked past the address in question, but stated he had not defecated on the property. Jerry stated multiple times he walks that path very often when he's out walking. It should be noted, Jerry lives at 301 Maple. This means Jerry walks past his house to reach 614 North Broadway. Jerry admitted this to be true. He eventually admitted to urinating in the yard of 614 North Broadway. I witnessed this confession, and it was also captured on my microphone, which was recording at the time.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's, Greenville is basically the town that time forgot. However, you know, while certain businesses may no longer be there, or they went out of business, they didn't get replaced. So, I couldn't tell. I don't, you know, I know a little bit, but not that much. I'm looking on a map right here, and I don't.
You know, there are a million stories in the Naked City.
Why, yes. Oh, you know what? I'm going to do this right now. This is my grandparents' old. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to paste, put in the chat room, or the chat thing for Skype. What was my grandparents' house? It's the, I'm going to take a picture, take a screenshot of this. Wow. The yard, a lot of things are gone. But one thing that's kind of cool is, there is a tree, a big pine tree that towers over the house. Which I planted that from a sapling when I was in the first grade. It used to be out front, then Grandpa replanted it out back.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll let me see here. Oh, how do I do this shit? Oh, here we go. Yeah, I mean, that tree right there, that was the tree that I planted, or Grandpa planted for me.
The one behind the house?
Yeah, the really tall one there.
Oh, by the way, they did warn the serial pooper that he was in danger of being charged with trespass, you know, after he'd already trespassed. Sergeant, you know, this really does need the Law and Order noise. Dum-dum. Sergeant Marion also advised he did witness a wet spot in the location where the subject was seen squatting. And he did it, and he done it for Trump, and he dude it again. Or dude-ed it again.
The newspaper there is called the Greenville Advocate. I'm going to see if it was in the Advocate.
Well, you know, thank God we cover the hard-hitting news stories of the day, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, by the way, Jeremy with a little news update. On a lighter note, Jeremy says Costco has announced they will no longer sell Mike Lindell products. Thankfully for Mike, he has plenty of my pillows to cry his tears into and to hide the meth when the raid comes down. Oh, and by the way, that's another little factual update. It turns out, you know, we all kind of wondered, where in God's name did Nitwit Nero get the idea that somebody was going to make him put him back in the White House in August? Well, it turns out it was Mike Lindell. One speed freak talking to another speed freak. You ever notice that meth heads and speed freaks manage to come up with some pretty loopy ideas?
Yeah, did you hear that Rudy is doing My Pillow commercials?
Oh, beautiful.
And it's funny. It's actually really funny. They talk in there about he has slippers. He puts they actually have slippers, and of course they actually have slippers. Yes, it's true. They really do. By the way, I put the gum wall in there.
I'm looking at that right now. That's disgusting, Steve.
It's extremely disgusting.
I posted my trees for you, Steve.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man.
Those are my two redwood trees that my mother planted those when I was a kid. Or when I was like 12 years old, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think I was 7 when I took that little sapling up to Grandma and Grandpa's.
And that building in front of the trees there, that's the man cave.
Oh, cool. Dude, is that your house back on the to the left there?
Yeah.
So the man cave is in the back.
Yeah.
What's that tree to the right, that really skinny thing? Is that one of those really skinny pine trees?
I don't know what you call that. It's over in my neighbor's yard.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that looks so gorgeous. Oh, man. Did you just take that? So is that right now? Is that the 105 degrees?
No, I didn't just take it. No, this is
funny. Okay. Because I was like, to be honest with you, it's like the picture was just hot coming off my screen. I'm like, damn. Ha ha ha, I know, bad joke.
You know, that was taken a couple of years ago. I think it was on Memorial Day or something before that. Because all that, see that circle driveway kind of thing going around by the shop?
Yeah.
Everything past that now, there's no green. It's all dead.
Oh, I see. I see.
Just from the sun.
Are you guys still in drought out there?
Oh, we're in bad drought this year.
Wow. Yeah, Canoodlia has had
You ever heard of Lake Shasta?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Well, it's so bad. Every time we're in a drought, in a bad, bad drought, all the stuff that was underneath the lake that got covered over starts to come out of the water again. Mm-hmm. Like there's where they had the big tower crane where they swung all the cement around and everything. Mm-hmm. The base of that is out behind the dam, the water goes down, and that thing just cut it off at a certain point. with torches, but they left the base of it, and the base is rising out, so the water level's way, way down.
Jesus.
In Lake Orville, where they had the dam thing a few years ago, break.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible looking again. It's way, way, way down. I think Folsom Lake in Sacramento probably dried up again. LA is trying to, is going to use their wastewater and make it back into drinking water. Recycle it now.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, as long as it's just H2O, I mean, it can be purified.
Well, yeah. I worked at this sewer treatment plant once in Shasta Lake City. And the guy says, once we're through with the process, the water's pure enough to drink. But we have to get rid of it. So they have this sprinkler system that's outside the plant kind of, and it sprays water all over the place out there, and everything is nice and green. And then, and it's another thing, years ago, a fiberglass plant was built right next to Knopf Fiberglass. That was where the last job I ever worked on was a reconstruction of that. But they use all the reclaimed water.
Well, hey, let me do one thing real quick. We've got Kurt in North Dakota over on the stress line. Let's bring him on board. Hey, Kurt.
Hey.
And
good
afternoon. And before I go any further, let me note that there is a $100 challenge on the table. And we're in kind of a bad way. You know, it's $740 to finish the week. And I can't, starting this coming Monday with a $1,000 hole is just, and it makes me worry about the future of this program, thank you, frankly. But there's a $100 challenge of When Billionaires Choose, You Lose, anonymous challenge. And we can at least take it down to $540 if we can meet that challenge. And it would be great if we could finish the whole thing and have a horn family community made miracle, because there's a bunch of damn bills due. That's why, because the same as they are every month. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go over top of you there, Kurt. How are you?
Oh, no, that's fine. No, I'm doing pretty good, but I thought I'd just share here. I'm just like Sparky out there in California. We're at 102 degrees here today. We are just stifling up here in the northern prairie tier up here. It is very dry. We're very much in a drought up here also. But it's been a hot one today. I got my air conditioner going. I got a couple of fans humming along. But it's actually not too bad in here. I'm down to about 70. So it's been working real good so far anyway. But it's been hotter than hell.
That's kind of, I mean, it's kind of amazing because y'all go from, you know, freezing to death and driving on frozen lakes to, you know, 100 degrees.
Right.
Bang.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We go to so many extremes here. You know, but I have noticed, though, that our summers have gotten a lot more warmer than we used to. You know, it's, you know, where the winters here now have actually been, you know, a lot warmer, you know, than we used to. God, I remember in the wintertime here, we would have lows of 35 below and you'd have to plug in the car and do all this stuff. But, you know, we haven't been that cold like that in years and years and years. And, you know, like last winter here now. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're in NODAC?
Yes. I'm in the NODAC country here. Yes.
No, I used to.
I'm up here in Grand Forth.
Oh, did you? Good friends. Yeah, I worked for Byron back when he was a congressman back in 1989.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, back when, wow. back when George Sinner was governor.
George Sinner. You know, this state is kind of strange. I'm not originally from North Dakota here. I'm originally from, you know, from Minnesota, but I'm very much familiar with North Dakota here, you know, because I lived here, you know, pretty close to this side of the state here. And North Dakota was kind of strange because you know they would get some Democratic governors here. You know, we had Sinner, and then there was another governor that was a Democrat here. I can't think of his name now. Isn't that terrible? But it's been kind of a strange. But now, you know, this state has gotten so much right wing, and even like my home state of Minnesota, it's not as progressive as it once was. It's all gotten so goofy.
Yeah.
You know?
Byron was a really good guy. He was a really
Now, did
good
you
guy.
Ever get to meet, did you ever get to meet, oh, what's his name, Ken Conrad?
I think he was, see, when I met Byron.
He was another senator.
Yeah, he was a senator. I met Byron when he was a congressman. This was before he was. Who was
oh, okay, I see. Senator? I get you.
Yeah, it's Robin.
Right.
I can't hear you. Okay. He was such a good guy.
Wait, what's me?
Good typing on the computer?
No, that wasn't me.
Okay. But Byron was
what
such
was
a,
that?
He was such a someone was typing on their computer and I couldn't hear you. Byron was such a good guy. Oh. He was just a real decent guy.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes. Yes. Yeah, very much so. Right. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, we don't have those kind of Congress people or even senators for, you know, like that anymore here. It's all right-wing nonsense. We got that one, you know, this one nutball, the hell's his name, that now that's a senator from here. He wears glasses. God, I thought I can't remember these names.
Right.
Well, anyway. He comes on our local talk show here in Grand Forks, you know, from time to time, and it's just complete jabberish, you know, bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all this right wing, you know, right. and he seems to cater to a lot of the Trumpyites, you know.
Yeah. Earl Pomeroy was the guy.
Earl Pomeroy. Yeah.
He was the congressman after Byron won his Senate election.
But however crazy and right-wing nutbaggy North Dakota may be,
South Dakota.
You get to wake up every morning and say, at least we're not South Dakota, and you don't have a bioterrorist in your governor's office like Christy Nome. And by the way, we were talking about Mike Meth Lindell, Mr. Meth in the Pillow. He apparently flew with Christy. Remember when he got bounced out of the governor's meeting a couple of weeks ago? And you people will pay. You'll pay. You know, you'll pay. apparently, he went to that meeting with Christy Nome.
Ooh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Can I?
She's toxic.
You know, I have
Oh, yes, she is, very much so.
But yes. I have begun to worry a little bit. You know, look, when I see people who have, you know, drug addictions and whatnot, I have compassion for them. And Lindell strikes me as he's seriously gone back on it, because there is a level of paranoia. This is even his level of paranoia is,
or maybe that's what his addiction did to him in the first place, Steve.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But am I wrong?
Yeah. There could be some lingering damage.
No, I think that's true.
Yeah.
That guy is. We're talking crazy, crazy, right. crazy.
Well, Steve, I. Well, this was one of the reasons, you know, that I called is that you mentioned about the Montreal hit. I've been watching the NHL, you know, playoffs like you also, and I saw that awful hit there with Montreal
and Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg. Yeah, right. And it's, yeah, that was a hell of a hit.
I thought it was completely clean.
Well, yeah, you know, it's hard to say, you know. I mean, you know, the problem with that was, you know, like they said, it was the follow through, you know, after that Owens, you know, when he scored the goal on it at the net, well, then that was when it got hit. And I understand that, you know, Shifley was trying to, you know, if he would have just played the puck instead of the body at first, but he didn't do that. He went right for the hit. So it was kind of a, but it was a nasty hit. God, I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I go, what the hell?
Yeah, I liked it.
And then, of course, my team got knocked out. I've always been now, I'm probably going to piss off some of the Western Canadian fleet here in the Horn family. But I've been kind of a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I don't want to say that too loud to the Western part of Canada, because I know how there's a little bit of conflict between the East and the West up there. But my team got knocked out, too. You know, Montreal took them to the cleaners.
Yeah. I thought, if I'm not mistaken, Toronto was up 3-1.
They were up 3-1, and they should have finished them off last Wednesday, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't seal the deal. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it strange, you know, it's kind of strange how hockey has changed. You know, Toronto has a player that they drafted back in 2017. That comes from Arizona. He was the number one draft pick.
Arizona.
You know, I mean, this is how strange hockey has gotten.
Yeah.
You know, and that's Austin Matthews. And it's like, and it's a guy. Well, he was actually born in San Francisco. His mother is from Mexico City. So she was, and then his father, I think, is from California. And then they moved to Arizona, and that's where he was born. And it's like, what? You know, it's just so strange now how things have changed.
There's nothing hockey there. There's nothing hockey there.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's funny.
Yes. Yeah. It is.
I'm going to sit here. I'm just going to listen for the rest of time. I have to actually get back to work. But it's really good to talk to you. And it's good to talk to somebody who knows some of the – who has the NODAC connection.
Oh, sure. And I also wanted to tell you, I know you were talking to Robin one time, and you mentioned about Connor Hellebuyck. And you said, and I think it was Robin that said, yeah, you're probably the only guy who knows Connor Hellebuyck is.
Okay. And I
remember that, and I thought, well, you know, I raised my hand. You know, as I was listening to you guys, and I said this, you know, sort of out loud, I go, I know who he is.
I think we're the very small hockey contingent here on the Horn. So
yeah, probably yes, that's right. No, I've been a bit going here too, but I thought I'd just call and tell you how hot the weather was, and then I had to respond to when you were talking about hockey there briefly there too, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to call in.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm going to step off and just listen for the rest, because I unfortunately got to get back to doing some work, because I've been kind of derelict this week, and I feel like I don't hear anybody else out there, and I hope I'm not taking up too much of the conversation.
Right. Yeah, no, me neither here. But I thought I'd just call in, Robin, and just say howdy and just let you know what's going on up here. Yeah. And you take care of yourselves, you guys, and We'll talk again sometime.
All right, you stay warm. You stay and stay out of that heat.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's some dangerous shit.
I'll stay warm. Yeah, that's for sure. You know, well, you guys take care, yeah, and we'll talk again.
Yeah, because winter will be back like a week after next, won't it? I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, probably within a couple of weeks we'll start seeing snow flurries.
All right, you have a good
evening. Well, have a good one, you guys.
You have a good evening, Kurt. Take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Kurt calling from North Dakota. That was lovely. And it's not every day that a radio program that's not in North Dakota has a lengthy discussion of the former politics of that state, right? Yeah. And I have thanks to send out. Thank you to Jude and Women Standing. Thank you so much. And thank you to Jack and Shreveport, and thank you to Gary. Thanks to y'all, the When Billionaires Choose, You Lose challenge is met. And that is tremendous. I'm sorry, I had to go out and check the smoke real quick, and I got a nice loading dose of hickory smoke. But that challenge has been met, so we are now down to 540 to go. And whatever we can knock out, it would be great to knock out all 540 and have a Horn Community Made miracle on this fourth day of June. But whatever we can knock out, so that we're not looking to some monumental and terrifying number come more in Monday, would be magnificent. So thank you again to our anonymous friend putting forward the challenge. Thank you to Joey and Giraffe for their challenge. Thank you to Jack and to Gary and to Jude. Thank you all so very much. And let's bounce around the room a little bit just to see if anybody's got anything on their minds. John in Central PA, are you there or are you just listening?
I'm here, man. I just got blocked by somebody on Twitter that I was following. Remember that Chloe girl? I thought her content was really good. I asked her a question about, you know, about like her kid's dad or something. Like, she posted something about her kid's dad, and then all these people are, oh, you're so creepy, you're such a creep, and all this stuff. And I don't know, I'm just not feeling good right now. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, I'm not like a stupid person. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. You know, people have to be like this, man.
Yeah,
like,
people are tense right now.
You know, like, I didn't realize that it's creepy, you know? Like, she liked my comment, and then somebody went on and said, oh, that's creepy, and all of a sudden she blocked me. I mean, like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling good right now. Like, I don't know.
Oh, that's well, sorry to hear that. But I wanted to tell you, you send me some great content, and I just wanted to make a point of mentioning that, and I appreciate it.
All right, that's cool, man. I'm glad, you know. I don't know. Like, I wish people wouldn't get me wrong like that. People get the wrong idea so quick. Sorry to bring this into conversation. I just saw this like a minute ago, and it just completely threw me off guard, you know. Like, I didn't try to be creepy at all, you know. They're acting like I sent her like a, you know, like a dick pic or something, and like, that's not it at all. And I just don't understand why people have to be so mean over nothing, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to dip in the convo and everything. Maybe there was a couple of things I did want to talk about. Lost my train of thought on it, though. But what was it? I heard on Sam Cedar's show today, somebody called in and said the reason why Andrew Gillum lost in Florida is just something, you know, that's on my mind right now. But like, the reason why Andrew Gillum lost in Florida, and he had great record-breaking turnout in the primary. And this person says that progressives didn't want to vote for him after they found out that he supported Hillary Clinton or something like that. And I just like,
oh my God.
And like, I mean, I was like screaming at my steering wheel when I heard that. I was driving today. And then another person on that commented about the thing that about Trump saying he's going to be reinstated. in August, whatever, which I'm actually kind of a little bit worried about. Like, this thing might be a little bit more significant than the other ones, but maybe not. Maybe it's going to be the same misfire like the other times that people were saying that he was going to be reinstated in March and April and blah, blah, blah. But somebody posted, you know, a leftist of some sort said, well, all Joe Biden has to do is get this infrastructure bill passed and it'll quell this talk. And I thought, what world do you live in? I mean, like, here, and this is just anecdotally, but I think this is a trend to this. I can name you five right wingers, hard right wingers that I know off the top of my head right now that I'm thinking of. Some of them are people I work with, and some of them are somebody on Facebook or something like that. One of them makes $120,000 working out at Aberdeen, Maryland at the Proving Grounds as a software engineer. The other one makes $30 an hour. As a welder. The other one is a machinist where I work. Two of them is a machinist where I work at. They cracked 80 grand last year. That's four people right now off the top of my head. And there's many more that make well above the poverty line. They're living well above the poverty line. I mean, they're not exactly, you know, living on freaking rice and beans, you know what I mean? And they had nothing to do with economic anxiety. The only people who believe that are people who live in a freaking bubble. That's the only people that believe that crap. That is just a bunch of horseshit. I mean, it's just like I try to tell them this, and they don't. And that's where I get, like, we have so many things against us working against us right now. We have people that are in denial that are supposed to be progressive, right? With the right wingers, obviously, that are trying to destroy everything in this country, that is good. And then we have, you know, in my opinion, poor leadership, poor party leadership, that like Chuck Schumer, that thinks that he can, you know, work with the other side and stuff, and won't fire the parliamentarian, because now the parliamentarian says that we only get two more, you know, reconciliations, not three. You know, so, you know, the Republicans, they fired the parliamentarian whenever they had a chance, whenever they were telling the parliamentarian told them something they didn't want to hear. And now we got to keep well. I'm hearing an echo from myself. Do you hear me?
Somebody, we had a little bit of an echo coming through.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't have it on speaker. I'm wearing my Bluetooth headphones.
Bluetooth can screw with you once in a while. It's kind of unreliable. I just noticed that our dear friend John Bridivo popped in.
Is them fake boobs?
Them's fake boobs.
Is them fake boobs?
Them's fake boobs.
I was put up the same, man. Robin, how are you?
Who would do such a thing to you, John?
Well, you just look around at the usual suspects. I'm sure you could decide. You
want me to raise my hand?
Yeah, raise your hand, would you, Spark? How are you doing, Robin?
I'm fine as frog's hair. I've been, I tagged you in a message on Facebook earlier.
Did you?
Yeah, I was. I put up a picture of the briskets that I just done today.
Oh, you're just going to rub it in.
Yep. I did that yesterday. I asked you where my honor ornery Texan certificate is. I'm pretty proud of them darn things.
I think you're still under suspicion for the brisket, you know, caper. Yeah, you know, I'm just saying.
I've upped my game, John, because there's a big pride picnic at Maggie's tomorrow over across the river in Fayetteville. And I've never done two briskets at one time on the acorn. I have done that today. And by the way, somebody pointed out, I took a picture of it, and I posted it on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And somebody immediately said, that looks like hickory smoked alligator head.
Oh, shit.
Well, it kind of does.
Louisiana?
It kind of does, but oh, John, it's a damn... I got my sharp knife out because I've got a multi-stage process for them, and I got one slice off the thin end. You know how there's a thick end on a whole brisket and there's a thin end?
Yes, I do.
Well, I got one slice off the thin end just to make sure it was good. Oh, it's good. It is so good.
Oh, I heard that. What is that? West Virginia for damn right it's good?
Yeah, damn right it's good. And and the smoky bark on
no doubt.
The smoky bark on it, John. Yeah. That smoky bark is so tangy and smoky and wonderful. It actually kind of the smoke kind of along with the seasonings kind of numbs your tongue a little bit when you go to chewing on it.
You know that you're killing me right now. Why don't you just get a stick? If you could just reach through the airwaves there with a stick and beat me with it.
Yeah, just beat on you a little bit.
I need to take the time to do a little something. You know how this shit is. It eats your day up. You know,
so it does.
I had to go to the dump today and I had to hurry up and get back. Right now, it does, because right now, Robin, at, almost 6:20 at my time, my show is not uploaded. I'm sitting here watching a computer screen as my snail mail internet is trying to upload my show. So I'm not even out there yet. I'm on here. I just put out a message on Facebook.
I'm
on Robin Kincaid's show. Yeah. Yeah, while I wait on my show to upload it. I swear, my internet company needs two hamsters. If you're listening out there, get a second hamster. Jesus. Come on.
Yeah, it may be a one hamster service, but they charge you two hamster money.
Two hamsters. They are. They are indeed. Oh, Lord. But, yep, still trying to. Yeah, it consumes your day, and I do. I need to take a little time, either jump in the kayak and go upriver, or just sit back and smoke something.
Well,
I can do that right now.
You found a way to hurt me. Although we're getting perilously close. I think we already are now. Finally, a medical marijuana state. The only problem is
marijuana.
Yeah, well, I don't have any, but the list of things that can qualify you for it is pretty damn narrow.
I got that. Oh, I'm sorry.
I got the pretty damn narrow.
I got the pretty damn narrow. Oh, Lord. Anyway.
But I know what you mean. It does, and you know it's not so bad in the dead of winter when it just sucks outside. But oh my God, when it's beautiful and tomorrow, oh John Bredevo, it's going to be beautiful here tomorrow. 88 degrees, not a cloud in the sky.
Hey Robin, I'm going to mute myself for just 1 second because my producer just walked in. I want to relay some information to him.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll be right back.
Absolutely. What is it? What is that smoked fish that I just saw you post in the chat there, Roger?
Yeah, that's about 15 pounds of salmon. I did 30, so that was one of the runs.
Wow. How long does it take you?
The brine goes anywhere from 4 to 12 hours. I usually do it overnight, and then I smoke it, try to keep it down around 150 for about 4 hours, and then pop it up to about 200, trying to get an internal temperature of 165 for about an hour, and then I pull it.
No, that's pretty. And, that's real pretty.
And then I ziplock, stack seal and store in the freezer. So even if it's a little underdone, I'm not worrying myself.
I wanted to let you know. Yesterday, I tested the pickled Kaneka that I canned.
Yeah.
And I've lived to tell the tale. And damn, is it good.
That's a good thing that you can live to tell the tale and you're not out puking your guts out and running into the outhouse all the time.
No, it worked out real, real well.
Kaneka?
Yeah, the Kaneka is fantastic. Pardon?
What is it?
Kaneka sausage, Jack?
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'd think that would probably be available to you there in Shreveport.
I don't think
online. Possibly.
I cut it into about 3-4-inch sections after I boiled the daylights out of it and put it in and poured the brine over it and has garlic and dill and hot pepper and mustard seeds and I think it's gonna be mighty good. So I'm terribly, terribly excited. Oh, everything went all quiet again. Oh, Billable Rick's got his hand up. Hey, Billable.
Hey, how's it going, Robin?
Oh, we're doing good. We just to let you know that, and let everybody else know, we've made further progress. Thank you to Christopher. Christopher took us down to 5:15 to go to finish the week. So thank you, Christopher.
More than happy, Robin.
Oh, that's tremendously helpful, Chris, and I appreciate it.
Hey, there was a cowbell there I missed. You were talking about getting one hamster service but paying two hamster prices. So,
yeah, two hamster money.
For your internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, two hamster money, yeah. I thought that was fun.
I appreciate the cowbell.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sometimes just stuff just flies right by, you know, because so much it just happens, you know. But
The best one in a while was last night talking about the ally cat.
Oh, I like that. That was good. So where is your co-producer today? Are they like waiting outside the door for you to finish, or what's going on there?
As a matter of fact, they are, because I popped out there just for a couple of minutes to make sure everything was okay on the smoker, and there stood Kyle and Caesar. Wow. No, you're not inside, boys. No, but they're such beautiful, sweet cat, and they're big. I mean, they're 10 months old, and you know, probably just near 3 feet long from tip to tail.
Wow! So they're indoor, outdoor, or what is the deal?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And they're never indoor when the program is on the air.
Right. Of course not. So they come in at night. Then is that the idea?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you must have coyotes and stuff around your parts.
We got hawks.
Oh my, yeah. Oh boy,
we got owls.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, I saw a couple of interesting things. Speaking of animals, I was parking the car here at the near where the goats are here in the office area, and I was looking at a squirrel on a wire. And he was just kind of trying to mind his own business. And some, what are those birds? Some birds started to attack it because I think they knew it was going to try to go to their nest. I'm trying to think of those, the good luck birds. What are those called with the black wings, the white and black? They're not minor birds. They're, it begins with an M. Maybe somebody knows. But anyway, they were like, magpies, yeah, it was a magpie, yeah. It was a magpie? No, I don't think it was a magpie. Yeah, it was a magpie. Yeah, they were, you know, they were attacking the squirrel because they knew he was, like, on his way on the telephone wire, and they like, damn near knocked him off the telephone wire, you know, and he made it to, like, a tree where their nest probably was. So, they're known to attack crows as well because I think the crows must eat their eggs. They'll team up on crows. I also saw them the other day attack like a sparrowhawk of all things on the coast and near where Star is in Garden Grove, and they were just like, you know, going after it, and he finally got tired of it and flew off. But it's interesting how nature is just observing it, you know, stuff that happens out there.
I got magpies that nest in my front yard.
Yeah.
Used to, and out back, they'll nest in the big oak tree and around.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had chicks fall out of the nest and be on the ground. And you walk out there where that chick's on the ground, and those magpies will just start going absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're fierce. They are really fierce. You know?
So all I do is leave the chicks alone. They're going to die on the ground. A cat gets them.
Yeah, but something's going to happen.
I'm not going to mess with them.
Yeah, and you know, magpies will also swoop down and like tease cats as well. You know, they're actually kind of
hateful. I
think they're very intelligent birds. Yeah, they are hateful. They are kind of hateful, but they're very intelligent birds, I think. You know.
Oh yeah.
But you know. So, I mean, they must know on some level that the cats will go after them or their babies if they can, you know? I mean, because cats are just known as real predators for outdoor birds.
Well, these two boys here are and so is Lucy Purr, very vocal. You know how how a Siamese cat will, you know, a lot? These are these are talkers.
Wow.
I mean, you probably can't hear the but when they're standing at the door, I swear it's Morning. Morning.
I can hear them sometimes.
Yeah, we hear them on the show, Robin.
Oh, I know you hear them, but I mean, it's like they're freaking syllables. It's not just meow.
Yeah.
And I swear, Agnes and I were talking about it. I think they got some Maine Coon in them or something.
They could. Yeah, Maine Coon are not pretty vocal, I think.
And they're huge. And Kyle has this bottle brush tail. He's just a beautiful boy. And I think Caesar may have some, may have some Bengal in him. Because instead of stripes, he has spots.
Probably does. Oh, those are hunters. Those are hunters, Robin.
That's more like a leopard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but the Bengal cat looks like a tabby with spots.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of stripes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and thank you to Earther. The Earther jumped in. We are now $500 away from being fully funded for the week. That means all of this evening and 2/3 of yesterday yet to be filled.
$500 to a miracle.
We are at $500 away from a miracle, John Bredebo.
Miracles are not cheap.
No, and they've been kind of, scarce lately.
Well, they're hard to come by.
They are.
Nowadays, especially, miracles, it's more like you got to pull it out of your butt than a miracle nowadays. I urge anybody who's listening, you have a couple extra bucks in the bank and you want to help a good cause, donate it right here to keep Robin's voice on the air. These voices that you hear in liberal radio are far outnumbered by the right-wing nut jobs on the other side. So it's important that we keep Robin's voice on the air and keep this progressive voice moving. It's all we got, baby. So if you got the lotto, well, you need to erase this whole $500 here, and we'll have as a miracle right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Indeed. Yeah, somebody might have hell. They're giving it away. If you get a shot, somebody could become.
Yeah, well, not up here. I mean, I don't know if they entered me or Agnes, John. But up here, they ain't giving. No, they're giving away. They're giving away pickup trucks, shotguns and rifles.
Well, of course they are. Get a shot, give a shot. That's the way it is.
Yeah, just maybe go down and take it to the pawn shop and hawk your shotgun or your rifle or whatever.
Yeah, if you really want the money. But why would you give up such a fine example of the Second Amendment there? Just go ahead and get you some money. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, I mean, that money, you can't eat that money, but you can shoot a possum and eat it with that shotgun.
Yeah, there you go. It's a survival thing. Anyway, if you do win, or if you haven't, and you just have a few bucks to keep Robin on the air, please think about donating. For people that do this, this is their job. This is their income. This is what they do to make a living. And it's not easy. It consumes your whole day trying to stuff shit in your head. And, the day goes by before you're even ready to turn on that microphone. And it gets caught away. And in the meantime, the bills still stack up. There's charges got to be done. And it's hard to do.
Well, I kind of took inspiration from you, John. No, Monday rolled around and it was a holiday and I very seldom do it, but by God, I took Monday off.
Did you?
I did too. We cooked some food and talked about the ones that didn't come home, and I told some stories so that maybe we'll pass it down through the generations.
There you go. That's what it's about. It's not about the ones that are here. It's the ones that aren't here.
Yep.
Is that day. And so, yeah, good. Good. I'm glad. And the earth didn't move, you know. I mean, you know, didn't stop. I mean, it continues. But can't stop forever. And that, boy, your voice is so needed in this. You talk about inspiration from me. Shit, I really get inspiration from you. I always, since the first time I was ever on your show, I've told you before, I think you're, I don't know how you cram all them voices and all that knowledge up into your head, but thank goodness you do. I wish I was as eloquent as you. But the voices that I hear in my head keep the voices that in this fight, they're needed. And the only way to keep them is by the generosity of the listeners and the Horn family and beyond. So keep that in mind. This is Robin's job. So tip well, please.
Thank you, John. That's mighty kind. And our pal Kat in Ohio just responded and got us down below $500, down to $475. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thank you.
That means a lot. So helpful.
I mean, it's rough. And I know it's not easy to come on and humble yourself and ask for it. You know, it takes a little bit to do that. And it's humbling. But the bills, they don't give a shit. They don't care. And I'll send a note in the bill there that goes, well, you know, if you're having a hard time, we'll just forget about this. No, ain't happening. They want their money. Yep. Or you're cut off, period. Thank goodness my Blue Dot family or my internet would be off, I swear.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be the first thing to go.
That's everything here. I mean, it's
worth a shit.
You know.
But all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
anyway. I was going to say, Robin can't go out and hawk pictures of her with her feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk for $100.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah, sadly, no. No. Although we did take a picture once of my colleague Bo and I flipping off the Trump International Hotel there in D.C.
There you go. There you go. You could.
You might be able to get that. Autograph that. See if people will buy it.
With a donation. You send in the right. It's a donation.
I saw that story today. That guy selling his autograph pictures. It was when he was sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk for $100. I was like, oh, geez.
You're not
supposed to be able to profit from your crime, right? Or maybe that's just sell a book.
Donnie Hess.
Should be.
Huh?
Donnie Hess, he's profited quite a bit off his crimes. Of course, the
Bible. Well, when you got caught for. I mean, like when people, or maybe it's just sometimes judges will say, you can't write a book and make a bunch of money from this shit.
Yeah.
What's that
old joke about? What do you call the guy that graduated last in his class at law school?
Lawyer.
Your Honor.
Your Honor.
You know, I don't know. You know, this shit. You know, there's two things that the Republicans, I don't want to get off on a tangent.
Yeah, but did you go?
There's only two freaking things that the Republicans really give a shit about. Tax cuts for the wealthy. And judges. Guess what?
Because everything else flows from that.
That's right. And guess what two things don't require a 60 vote?
Yep, there we go.
They don't give a shit about your voting rights, your civil rights, your infrastructure. They'll filibuster that shit out your ass.
Well said, John. There is one other thing they care about, and that's a wand in every uterus.
A wand in every uterus and a gun in every hand. And they're accomplishing that with the filibuster by filibustering any damn gun legislation that comes up to the Senate. This is bullshit. You know, you look at the history of the damn filibuster, nothing good has ever come out of the filibuster. And the way the Republicans use this shit, you know, we got Joe Manchin and
Kyrsten Sinema
down. And she was down on the border
Now, get
with
this
John Cornholio.
With John Cornholio. And they're talking about, well, we're going to make a deal on immigration. No, you're not.
Hey, he's going to make her. He is going to leave her sticky, broken, confused.
He
okay.
He is blowing smoke up her ass just like he's done before. Yeah, I'm out here working with the Democrat. Well, when it comes time to vote, well, you know, I just can't support it because of X, Y, Z.
Well, there's a fetus involved.
Kiss my ass. I'm tired of this shit. You know, and it's these two that are blocking us from getting rid of the damn filibuster. And it's sickening to watch because it only benefits the Republicans. The Republicans are the only ones really going to use it. Everything they desperately want.
Well, right, and what I said earlier, John, is I don't know if Kirsten and Joe have the ability to feel stupid, but if the Republicans get hold of the Senate again and they decide there's something they fucking want, if they've got a Republican president, the rest of the filibuster is going to disappear so fast.
In a heartbeat, they blew it up to the Supreme Court that night.
There won't even be a skid mark. It'll be gone so fast. Then we all get to look at him and go, well, how's that bipartisanship working out for you there, Kirstie?
Just how is that, you know? While John Cornyn blows smoke up Kristen Sinema's ass.
I ran the clip on the air this evening, John. Did you play that too, of her giving her little civics lesson about why we have the filibuster?
Is that the one where she tries to go to work happy?
Yeah, she's a happy warrior.
Yeah, I don't want somebody who's going to work happy up there. I want somebody who's going to work determined to get their shit done, to push our nation forward. I don't want you going in there all smiley and let's pose for the camera. Let's give out a nice little speech here that we can both duck our ass from. I don't want that. I want people up there that are dedicated to fighting for the cause, for the people out here, for the American citizen, for the all of us. This bullshit that we put up with all the time. We have control of this shit. Not them. And we only can prove that with our vote and our voice. And Robin is doing exactly that. It's what I try to do with as much passion as I can to raise that alarm. We've talked about it's just like the Horn family. We'll talk about shiny honey. We'll talk about birds. We'll talk about a lot of shit. But what we're there for is to encourage every one of us to make sure that we are in this fight because everything depends on it. I don't give a shit what your issue is. If it's not tax cuts for the rich and judges on the bench, the Republicans really don't give a shit about your issues.
But they will tell you how much they care about the precious little fetuses this is.
Oh, yes.
Because that'll keep the rubes coming to the polls.
Until they're born. And then them little demons, they should pull themselves up by the bootstraps. I don't care if they ain't got boots yet. They will someday get their daddy to pull up his. It's the same shit. They're pro-birth. That's all they are. And it's sickening. Because I don't see them raising no Cain about Israel. They love Israel. Are you shitting me? Go look up the abortion rate in Israel. It's the most liberal abortion place in the world, just about. You want one? Get one. They don't raise no Cain about that. It's just an issue. It's an attitude. It's a weapon that they can't. That nobody can deny. I'm doing it.
And it's a weapon they can. It's a weapon that only works on. Well, what did Trump say back in 2016? I love
the uneducated.
Uneducated. Yep, that's right. Because if you can sell Jesus, you're halfway to selling them any other bucket of bullshit. I'm sorry if I offended anybody's religion. But there's 4,200 of them. I'm sure I'm going to offend somebody's religion.
It's not bullshit. It's bucket pudding.
Bucket pudding? We're
calling it bucket pudding. Yeah, oh, by the way, I've got a clip. I never got around to it. It's gotten kind of old. Probably never will play it. But of Jim Baker whining that he went to prison because of cancel culture.
Cancel culture. That's what did it. Somebody played violins and somebody slapped him.
I have sinned against you.
Short of the glory of God, and I pray for forgiveness and please $1, $2, $500 if you got it there. I know Jesus is going to punish me, but Jesus, I need some money too. It's sickening.
Are you shitting me?
Hey, John, I just had Ron and Raleigh just reminded me, and I gotta ask you, what do you, talk about born behind the eight ball? I'm so old I can remember when the Republicans had their convention in 1988, and they put the camera on Barbara Bush, and she pointed to Jeb's children and said, "And these are the little brown ones." Well, one of the little brown ones is all grown up and wants to be Attorney General of Texas. That's P. That's George P. Bush.
Oh yeah, the one that's gonna piss on your leg and tell you it's raining.
Yeah, and he had to go and put bacon grease all over his head so he could get it up Trump's ass.
Yeah, ain't that sad? From your own family, that man dissed every one of your family. Called everything except.
Yeah.
Excuse me, my pipe just attacked me. Bad pipe. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, George P.
Humiliated his whole family.
What a little shit. Really? You're that needy for that? For you can't stand up on your own?
Trump trashed his own uncle. Former president of the United States, whatever you thought of him. But that's okay. That's okay. That former reputation of Texans for being steely and having take no prisoners, no bullshit, that's all gone now if you're a Texas Republican. Donald Trump can say anything about you, your mother, your wife, your dog, anything. Your cat, and your wife is ugly. Yeah,
your
you
daddy
just take
tried
it.
To kill Kennedy. Now come over here and lick my ass. And he did. He did. You shit. I'm tired of these people. John Cornhole, Ted Cruz, Louis Gohmert, my congressman, Michael Cloud, who disappeared after January 6th.
The amazing disappearing cloud.
I mean, like a ghost. He's gone. It's sad. It's worse than sad. It pisses you off.
It's pathetic. If you didn't know who they are, you'd almost feel sorry. But the operative word there, John Bredebo, is almost.
Almost. Like hand grenades, right?
Yep.
It's our fight, Robin.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
It's our fight, babe.
And you know what? There was some good news. We talked about it earlier this week. The Republicans, the Republicans
going to get back on Facebook until 2003. 23. That's you got to.
I thought that
bit.
Was an interesting date.
Really.
Why not keep him off Facebook till 2025?
Yeah, let's wait till after the come on before they say that they're going to monitor.
Yeah, you're sure they
all know what he's going to. You know, don't clown around here. It's going to be political season, and he's going to want to be on there, and they're going to lay. But it doesn't matter. I don't know. The only out for us as Democrats, as a liberal side of this equation here, is to come out in mass even more because the Republicans are doing their damnedest to stop as many of us from voting. That ought to be motivation one. Right there. They're trying to stop you. And we need to come out en masse because, and sadly, whatever the outcome might be, they're going to whine that it was illegal. It's, voter fraud, whatever. That's what all this bullshit with Arizona and what now? Pennsylvania's going to get in the game, too, with we're going to do an audit or some bullshit.
God, John Fetterman ate those Republicans for lunch. I do like that dude.
John Fetterman?
Yeah, Lieutenant Governor of PA.
Okay. Okay, I didn't hear what he said. Hell, I'm having a hard enough time keeping up with my freaking gray hat down here.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I'm surprised. I mean, it's going to come back around, but I'm just so proud of Texas Democrats the way they stopped that shit.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am. And we don't get to say I'm damn proud of my Democratic state house. because an hour and a half before the final vote on that law, voter restriction law down here, the Democrats all got up and walked the hell out. And the Republicans screamed and moaned, but there ain't a damn thing they could do. Nobody's there to vote, baby. We're gone. Now, he's going to try to come back with a special session. God forbid he didn't do it for anything else, but he's going to do it for this because that's what they're counting on. And that's how come every one of us need to call your senator. We got to get H.R. 1 passed because that's what it's all about. And call him 202-224-3121. That's a universal number. Doesn't matter what Senate you're
calling. That'll get you through.
That'll get you there. Call that number, 202-224-3121. Tell your senator, hey, get this shit done. Because we're tired of watching you sit up there and give us doublespeak 50 times a fucking day on why you can't do this shit.
Oh, and, here it is. He went on CNN, Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman did. And he went after Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano, who's a maggot.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Let me just run the clip. It's good.
Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. He's also a Democratic candidate for Senate. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for coming on. This is the same Mike Pence, as you know, who was evacuated out of the Senate chamber as crowds were chanting that he should be hanged as the mob was breaking into the Capitol. I mean, what is your reaction to what Mike Pence is saying now?
Well, he just basically put an end to his political career. Any Republican that puts any distance between himself and absolute fealty to Donald Trump does so at their political career's peril. It's just simply that it's just a fact now in the current GOP.
And you think, I mean, because if he wants to run in 2024, which is the assumption, do you think, though, he is wrong to assume that he needs the Trump base, that he can do both of these things? He can distance himself, but still get their support?
Yeah. There's just no way. You have to be all in. And we've seen that in our own primary here in Pennsylvania. Just any tweet, any statement is weaponized that is anything less than absolute fealty to Donald Trump. It's weaponized within the GOP ranks. And what the former vice president said at that dinner would all but end, at least in my estimation, any opportunity for him to run in 2024 in a party that is still firmly in the grip of former President Trump.
This also gets to continued efforts right now to investigate, overturn election results, and we're looking at that in Pennsylvania, too. Pennsylvania Republicans, they went to Arizona just recently to learn more about that audit widely seen and understood as a sham in that state. Pennsylvania State Senator Doug Mastriano was asked by a reporter if he wants Pennsylvania to conduct a similar audit to what is happening in Arizona. And he says, I do. He said, I'm not about overturning anything. I'm just trying to find out what went wrong, what went right, what went wrong, and how do we have better elections in the future. What do you think of that?
Well, what went wrong in his mind is that his candidate lost, and he did so fair and square. But I will say that the former president did secure 100% of the dead mother vote in Pennsylvania. Look, these Jesus. Kind of audits and whatever are just—it's just bad performance art to pander and simp for the former president here. I mean, that's all it is. They know it's not going anywhere. Senator Mastriano and others did a bizarre snake handling kind of conference in a ballroom at the Ramada in Gettysburg.
Ouch! Bad snake handling conference in the ballroom at the Ramada Inn in Gettysburg?
No, I had not heard that clip. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Are you shit?
He's my hero, man. He is my hero. I love this guy. Like, he's great, and he's pure 200 proof Pennsylvanian. Like he has so much pride as a Pennsylvanian. I've never seen so much, you know, a politician from this state is so proud to be Pennsylvanian. You know, that's great. I like it.
Well, if you're going to represent the state, maybe so. That's a good thing.
Is he going to run for Senate?
Yeah, he's a candidate. He's a candidate for he's Democratic. Have y'all had your primary already?
No, I think it's next year, next May, I think it is.
Yeah.
He's right now, he's at 40% in the polls, and the next person up from him is Connor Lamb, who's at 22%. So I think it's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he's got kind of a bully pulpit. What, as the lieutenant governor, is it, right now?
Yeah, well, among other things, he runs the Pennsylvania Senate.
Oh.
Well, okay. he got voted off. They voted to have him removed officially, so, like, he can still be there, I guess, but, like, maybe that was the one time.
No, that was a one-off.
Okay, all right, because, that was a, you know, that was a little shitty of him to do, obviously, but remember, I'm just a creep, so what do I know? I don't know.
Oh, just in case, you know, and I keep talking about this, you know, January 6th was a dress rehearsal. So enter Paul William Ryan of Arizona, where the FBI showed up and found 32 pipe bombs. And it turns out he's one of these one of these goobers who writes about survivalism and has a bug up his ass about the Antifa.
I heard of them guys.
Yeah.
32 pipe bombs.
Now, who do you need to be afraid of? Antifa or the guy they just found with 32 pipe bombs?
Bingo.
Did you see the video the Lincoln Project put out on about Antifa?
No.
I haven't. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it talks about World War II and shows all the soldiers. They're the Antifa.
Yeah. The people that stormed Normandy Beach were Antifa.
Yeah.
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 My two uncles who didn't come home were Antifa.
There you go. There you go. My father included.
I still have friends who are convinced that Antifa's coming to their front doorstep and they need to protect their houses.
Oh yeah, and by the way, Jeremy, I'd love to take you up on the $100,000 in Monopoly money. But
that would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
Come on, I miss him.
I know you don't have Rush Limbaugh to kick around anymore. But there's always what is his name, Dan Bon Jovi, whoever the other walking dumpster fires of right wing racism are that are going to replace him. I mean, sure, he's irreplaceable, but because he was America's truth detector. But no, unfortunately, as noted, he is still dead. But thank you for jumping in and getting us down to 465, Jeremy. I appreciate it.
Sure, and I also saw last night that Rachel beat Sean Hannity for the third straight month in a row.
God damn it! Shut up.
Yeah, no, you, no. You're talking to your phone again, John. Is that it? Yeah.
No, that was me.
Oh,
I forgot I was unmuted and that some spam call.
Oh, sure. Hi, we were just reviewing our records and we've noticed that your current automotive warranty is about to run out. Press 9. No, fuck you.
Hurry up.
Yeah, I get those. Run out any minute. Yeah, I get about 5 of those a day.
And if you don't push it, we'll call you back another 500 times today. Asshole.
But the robocalls are getting smarter now because they know there's a 30-second lag between when your answering service picks up and when they can start talking. That's the tricky part, too.
I always ask what the weather's like in India.
I never answer my freaking phone anyway. There's a name that pops up on that thing, that's it. Nobody
my favorite thing was to tell him, could you hold on a second, put the phone down, walk away, never pick it back up.
Yeah.
or talk about the shark that's attacking your boat or whatever, you know, one of those deals.
Oh, I've seen that.
One thing I have noticed is if I answer one of those calls and I turn the speaker on, if I don't say anything, it hangs up after about 20 seconds.
Mm.
So
it's
automated, and then some guy, you know, it calls the call center guy when you pick up or something.
Right. Yeah, I've worked in call centers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the dialer just dials, and it you know, hello, and the minute they hear hello, it kicks you over to the call center. Well, I'll tell you what.
Hi.
Yeah, I gotta wrap up here because I gotta wrap up the briskets, John.
Oh, just go ahead and eat it all yourself. Don't worry about me down here.
Oh no, everybody, a whole bunch of people gonna enjoy it tomorrow. And I gotta make my tartar sauce for the catfish, and I gotta make the hot slaw for the barbecue.
Enjoy, my friend. Enjoy.
And I have the cutest little pink polka dotted apron.
Oh, outstanding!
Yes,
you're gonna make them all jealous. It's not gonna be the roaster. Look at that! Look at you!
Oh my! But
flatten your stuff around. I'm telling you. I seen the pictures.
Oh. So, got some daylight left to work with, so I'm going to do my best. And anybody listening to the podcast, if you'd like to help with that 465, that would be mighty, mighty, mighty welcome.
Please help keep Robert's voice on the air. That's what we need.
Because, you know, we bring that in, and I can pay the internet bill. There we go. Yeah.
And you'll be here next week.
Back porch.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
And there will be a back porch, Sparky?
Back porch goes on to the last person.
Right. So just because I'm gone doesn't mean you can't pop in. You can still use the link at headon.live, right?
Right.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. So the back porch will continue after the program concludes. Thanks, everybody. And I'm so glad, John Bredevoe, that you could pop by. It's always so nice.
I enjoyed it, Robin. Thank
you. It's always immensely good fun. And thanks to all of you who helped keep the program on the air. Thanks to everybody who knocked us down from 780 to 565 this evening. That's awesome. And we'll just keep doing what we can do. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. And some of you do all of the above. Thanks to the folks who jump in over at the U.S. Postal Service post office box. That's much appreciated. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room and in the around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable for Friday on the Front Porch. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia, working on the new program intro. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to call your member of Congress, ask him to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia because they're still blowing us to kingdom come, and we'd like to stop it. And, of course, it almost goes without saying, but that's only almost. Please stay safe. If you haven't gotten your vaccine yet, please get it. If you have gotten it, maintain your defensive protocols. Remember what Paul from Parts Unknown said, namely, the vaccine is not your first line of defense. It's your last, so keep washing your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear masks when you're around people whose vaccine status you don't know. And maintain your social distance as necessary. And if somebody comes to you saying, "Well, yeah, I pooped in his yard because he's a Democrat Biden supporter," avoid that person like the plague, because he is. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.